This sermon is preached on the Feast of the Epiphany at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens. We're keeping it on January the 5th. The part of the Christmas scripture or narrative that we're focusing on today is the journey of the Magi, the wise men, and their three gifts that they brought of gold, frankincense and myrrh. This Christmas season, as usual, is a bumper time for providing Christmas quiz questions. I could easily imagine Jean Mertzenakis providing a whole evening of Christmas questions at a St. Paul's quiz night. There is, ironically, a very rich treasure chest of questions that can be set, and it's good fun supplementing the very well-known Christmas story with questions that make you think, or trip you up because you have never thought of it before. It's also a time for the naysayers and sceptics to emerge, those who think that their rational and historical analysis sheds a whole new light on this well-known, what they would call, fable from Bethlehem. They delight in trying to prove that the historical figures mentioned in, for example, St. Luke's Gospel did or did not exist. They relish in facts like there was no historical record in any other primary source that there was a census in the reign of Caesar Augustus. Another popular game for the people who wish to debunk the Christmas story is to draw parallels from the details of pagan gods, such as Mithras. Rational questions get posed as to stumbling blocks to the truth of the narratives about the birth of Christ. Mechanical, clunky questions, such as, how does a virgin birth work? Parthenogenesis, to use its posh name, if you please. How is it possible to be an almighty and divine creator of all that exists, and at the same time, a baby in a manger? Personally, I'm drawn to none of this. I do not treat Christmas as a puzzle with trick questions. I do not seek to find a natural order or a rhythm to dismiss all the possibilities enshrined in this ancient and compelling story. A story that, like a star itself, leads us into mystery. I am much more persuaded, my friends, by some human responses recorded in the Gospels, in particular St. Luke's Gospel. At the greeting of the angel, Mary considered what manner of salutation this might be. To the visit of the shepherds, Mary pondered these things in her heart. Words such as these are my friends and companions, and the human responses of the shepherds, who respond to God's glory by rejoicing and glorifying, and the wise men who kneel to worship that part of the Christmas narrative we're focusing on today. It's St. Matthew alone who records the journey of the Magi to the city of Bethlehem and to the very stable where Jesus lay. The quizmasters know their names, of course, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, but this is not given to us in Scripture. We refer to this feast today as the Epiphany, and we generally translate it as manifestation, or in more contemporary language, revelation. In terms of today's feast, through the arrival of the Magi to the stable in Bethlehem, we are celebrating the manifestation, the glory of God in Jesus, to the non-Hebrew speaking world, that is, to the Gentiles. St. Matthew is making it clear that the birth of Jesus has an impact on Jew and Gentile alike. It's a universal event, a truly Catholic manifestation of God to his entire creation. Astronomers have tackled the journey of these Magi star-led as it is, was there a special star in that year? Can Matthew's reference be scientifically proved? We're back to those who analyse and explain away. More attractively and persuasively, poets too have been inspired by the journey of these magi. T.S. Eliot's Journey of the Magi is perhaps among the more famous, but here is one stanza of a poem by Sir John Betjeman. For me, these three kings symbolise Jesus revealed to Gentile eyes. Not just to Jews was Christ revealed, nor from the rest of us concealed. He was hailed as God by learned men from far away. Today, when I hear of clever scientists becoming sure that God exists and think the Christmas story true, and when I hear of highbrows who, after long thought, at last decide the Christ was God, the Church his bride, I thank him for those star-led three remembered at Epiphany. There is something powerfully attractive about this slow, methodical, and calculated journey that brings intellectuals from far away to a small Jewish city via a visit to the foxy and jealous King Herod. Theirs is a stark contrast to the unconditional response of the shepherds, with their simple, perhaps even naive acceptance of the message brought to them by celestial beings. These wise men have something of patron saint quality to the rational, intellectual approach to God and to faith. But thank God for the shepherds, I say. However, our faith is not without intellect. Religion cannot be lazy. Our church practice cannot just be blind and unthinking. We are all on the same journey as those wise men, and we journey as a church towards the mystery of the Word made flesh. We all need to follow the star to discover the Christ of love, peace, and health in the war-torn, troubled world that we are creating at this time. I turn again to literature to finish off this reflection on the Feast of the Epiphany, this celebration of the journey of the mind to reflect, consider, ponder, nurture internally, and accept the love at the heart of God in Jesus, born in a manger, the Word made flesh. The closing words of the quote are relevant to situations such as Gaza, Syria, and Ukraine, but other places also. It's the words that Evelyn Waugh puts into the thoughts of the Empress St. Helena on her quest to discover the true cross of Christ. This is what she says of the wise men. Like me, you were late in coming. The shepherds were here long before, even the cattle. They had joined the chorus of angels before you were on your way. For you, the primordial discipline of the heavens was relaxed, and a new defiant light blazed amid the disconcerted stars. How laboriously you came, taking sights and calculating, where the shepherds had just run barefoot. How outlandish you looked on the road, attended by what outlandish liveries, laden with such preposterous gifts. You came at length to the final stage of your pilgrimage, and the great star stood still above you. What did you do? You stopped to call on King Herod. Deadly exchange of compliments, in which began that unended war of mobs and magistrates against the innocent. Yet you came and were not turned away. You too found room at the manger. You are my special patrons, the patrons of all latecomers, of all who have a tedious journey to make to the truth. Pray for the great, lest they perish utterly. Pray for all the learned, the oblique, the delicate. Let them not be quite forgotten at the throne of God, when the simple come into their kingdom. Let us pray. Lord God, humbled in the Christ child in a manger, raised to glory on the cross, guide us to your perfect light. Amen.